So what's going on?
Oh, you know, not a whole lot. I mean, it's been a long time since we talked last.
Yeah, I know. I know. I feel like I'm this, like, globetrotter now. I'm doing all this, like, moving around, even though, like, I'm going to the same places, but, like...
I was
going
to say, it's a really small globe you're trotting from Arizona to California, Arizona to California, Arizona to California.
But it's, like, all in the span of, like, a couple of weeks. And so, like, it's really weird. We don't normally... We normally do, like, two trips a year. And then now my year is front-loaded just because we found sales and then friends wanted to do this. And we're like, okay. And we can't say no to anything. So that is what it is. And I got another trip coming up at the beginning of May.
Oh,
going
man.
Going to Tahoe. That one's different. Dang. So I'm excited for that one.
Nice.
And I tell you,
that's not in Southern California. What are you doing?
I know. I tell you, my buddy Aaron's getting married.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah, and what they're doing is instead of doing a wedding ceremony thing, they're just kind of doing, they're bringing in a like small group of people, and they basically rented out this like 15 room mansion in Tahoe, like on the slope under the ski lift. And so like he's like, hey, you just gotta get here. He's like, if you can get here, I have your room taken care of. There's like one meal I have to buy. Like I have to take care of like one lunch. All the rest of my meals are all taken care of. I was like, dude, I was going to go no matter what, but like I'm freaking in for sure. Like,
yeah, you made it super easy at this point. I was going even if it had been like a burden.
Yeah. If I got to walk, I'll start now. Like I'll be there. So yeah. And then we'll see how the rest of the year goes after that. I'm going to burn up all my friggin' PTO and not have any time. I'll be stuck here working the whole time.
Yeah. Well. No, I'll get my revenge when summer rolls around.
Are you planning trips?
A few, like stateside this time, definitely, though. Like not any Europe trips or anything like that. Yeah. But good. I got my godson's getting confirmed in like June. Yep. And so.
Got to be there.
Yeah. Head out for that. And then, you know, got some other people I've been meaning to see that I haven't gotten to yet, mm-hmm. like some of my buddies from seminary and stuff like that. So probably turn that trip out to Indiana into a flying
Ohio.
Road trip, like fly out, rent a car and hit like Ohio, Kentucky, that kind of stuff. And then fly on back.
Nice. That'd be fun. Yeah. That'd be a cool trip.
Yeah. Should be great.
Nice. Cool. All right, let's hit an intro and jump into it.
Welcome to the podcast, Blue Collar Scholars. Not long ago, a group of brilliant minds met together at a pub to discuss their unfinished works. They recognized the value of coming together around delicious beverages and having meaningful conversations. That group was known as the Inklings. The Inkledoo podcast here, we're working to be the second iteration of that group. So pour yourself a craft beverage, pull up a chair, and join the conversation.
All right, so I know we just recorded last night, and so nothing new has happened, but, like, do you have anything new and interesting to pull from?
Nope, not really. Okay. I mean, that coffee shop that I mentioned on last week's podcast was definitely the only new and exciting drink I had had.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I've started working with espresso recently, and so that's been fun. My espresso machine is not the best, but it's something. So I'm still like working on tamping and trying to get a decent espresso shot. But mostly the most fun I've been having is the foam, right? So like trying to figure out how
I was going to ask if you're getting the foam art going.
Yeah. So like yesterday I made a latte for Kristen yesterday and the foam was finally good. Like I felt like, hey, this is actually good foam. And then I tried to like wiggle it around in the cup to see if anything would happen. No, nothing happened. So I have to start working on that skill so that my lattes can look a little more professional. But that's about the extent of it. I found some of our old syrups. So I have some bourbon caramel lattes, you know, or some buttered rum.
There you go.
Yeah, it was very nostalgic. I was missing our coffee days.
Missing the pop-up.
Yep. But it's been good, man. So yeah, that's about the most interesting thing I've been doing with drinks too, is just messing with my coffee, like brew it with some cinnamon, try it with cocoa powder, make some espresso drinks. Like, what do I have? Let's friggin' try some stuff because Yeah, I got nothing going on either. So
throw it in the blender and see what happens. Yep. Yeah.
But I'm going to San Diego. Maybe if I get to San Diego, I can grab something interesting, because we're going to Encinitas, and I know there is a Modern Times, and there's also I can picture their logo. It's like a circle with like an arrow in the side of it or something. Dang it. But they had won like a lot of gold medals, like tons. They've won tons and tons of gold medals, and they have a little shop in Encinitas too. So maybe I'll see if I can't find some interesting things there to bring home.
There you go. Something to fill a couple weeks of conversation.
Yeah.
With.
Yep. Yep. I hadn't thought of that until just now, and I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. Sold.
Okay. So, but anywho, so one of the things I've been, I confessed yesterday about how I've recently kind of been in a state of disorder, you know, just kind of getting stuff figured out as I do, using the podcast as my therapy session. But I was working through it a little bit, and I, you know, because of course, even though I have the revelation and the frustration, I don't actually make the change in my behavior or my life until I'm like utterly miserable, like really, really miserable.
Because normal miserable ain't going to get the job done.
No, it's not nearly. I can handle normal miserable. Like, I can do that. I got to be.
My standard coping will get me through standard misery. Come on.
Oh, man. But I've been trying to, like, I know that I'm not in a right place. And so I'm like trying to like, what do I got to do to get back to where I want to be? And I know I should be. And, oh, what was I feel like it was when I just started in Isaiah, like right at the beginning, I'm pretty sure. And basically, like, kind of had, you know, through scripture and prayer, just kind of had God kind of saying, hey, I just want you to start talking to me again. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I still do my prayers before every meal, right? I still do my Bible and quiet time every evening before bed. Like, I'm still doing all of the things that I do. And so, like, I'm checking the boxes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that's going to be like right off the bat, like, yes, you're checking a box, that makes sense. And so the deeper part, there was a little more there, and it was, and if you want to jump in anytime, otherwise I'm just going to keep on rolling through my little
do it
story, which is taking me longer than the actual instance happened. But there was this kind of an understanding that, you know, my speaking to God isn't in my prayer time, for example. And this is going to where I'm going to start running into trouble, like, explaining it, in that so there was a quote from somebody that really stuck with me, and it was E.T. the hip hop preacher, right? He's a big speaker. And one of his phrases is, work is worship. And I was like, oh, man, that hit me, right? Because, like, I'm a doer type of person. Like, I'm not a sit and contemplate kind of person. And so his work is worth. I was like, oh, that makes so much sense to me, because, like, when I start a creative project or I start working, what it kind of does is it kind of, I don't know, like, attunes me to God and kind of, like opens me up or does something. And there's almost like, instead of it being a transaction, there's almost like this open flow back and forth between me and God. And the best comparison I have is that, you know, like, somewhere in the Bible, I don't know, I should have looked it up, but it kind of says how the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. It's like without words, but like with, like,
yes.
Do you know the verse? Do you?
I can't, like, cite chapter and verse for you on it, but it is, like, the idea that the Holy Spirit will speak for us in, like, unutterable groanings and things like that.
Yeah, it's just like there was something, like, it's not words, but it's, like, something more.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to chew through this with you a little bit and just see what your thoughts were. Like, obviously, I know there's still value in the actual verbal prayers and all of those things, but like this idea where,
you know, if you're talking to me, I'm going to come at you with the both and is obviously the solution.
Right, like, right.
That's 100% where I'm at.
Yeah,
you know. But I think it really does make a lot of sense, especially when you're talking about how for you, when you're in these creative endeavors, when you're working on like creating something, that you are more in the right spot. And I think part of what, like for me, I have to constantly evaluate in terms of my prayer, like my specific, like I am setting this time aside for prayer. I am reading the scriptures. I am doing liturgy of the hours, or I am, whatever the things I am doing. A lot of times, so there is like a real value to having that kind of established rhythm and pattern and flow of how things go, especially at times where, like, quite frankly, I'm a little dry. Like my soul is not filled utterly with the joy of the Lord at that moment.
Right.
And so being able to go to the saints or go to the scriptures, to those who were, like, and like pull from them and use their words and use their processing to help me out, it's a beautiful thing and it's really helpful. But on the other hand, I can also fall into this thing where it is something that I'm doing purely from rote, like just from memory. Mm-hmm. Like it is purely just about this rhythm. And like you said, the checklist, I'm doing these things.
Yeah.
The difference is when I am, and so that means like my disposition at that point is that I have come to do a thing. Mm-hmm. I have come to, I'm giving God my widow's mite. In my head, that's what I'm thinking. I'm definitely not. I'm actually coming and making a big production. I am the wealthy man coming and like putting the bag of gold coins down and having my trumpet entourage like call everyone's attention to what I'm doing. But so like my internal disposition can get off kilter in that. Whereas when I am, you know, for me, it's not so much like I'm not trying to write novels and things like that, or even the short stories. Mm-hmm. For me, that's not what it is. But in like preparations for teaching a lesson, you know, and I'm going to be doing like theology work with the kids and things like that. There, I am so focused on simply answering the actual call. Like, what is it that I am being called to do? And I need to figure that out. So whether I am being super conscious of that fact and sitting there and like, as I'm working on something, asking God, you know, Lord, this one feels like a touch point for the kids. I need your help to like really get me through. How am I going to handle this one? Or more often than not, simply because I am in the spot doing what I am called to do, I am more receptive to that still small voice that we mentioned, you know, God speaking in the breeze.
Yeah.
To where like, yeah, no, I am in connection. And that statement that work is worship, like, it's important to keep in mind, worship is a form of prayer, but not all prayer is worship.
Right.
And so like, yeah, my work is when my work is done right. And when my work is done well and done correctly, it absolutely is worship.
Yep.
It is, God, thank you for the gifts you've given me. Here, I put them at the service of you and your church. And let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And that's worship. That's me coming before my God. And that's me like giving him the glory. And that is me like dedicating myself to his service.
Yeah.
And that's worship.
Yeah. I want to.
My prayer can be navel gazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I like what you said. Or you were kind of drawing the picture of, you know, being in connection with God when you're working through like lessons, plans, and saying like, do you want me to do this? Do you want to do that? And what popped into my head is collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And like that really good collaboration, you know, like when you're with a partner, you're working on a single project and like your energy is feeding them and their energy is feeding you. And like ideas are just like going bonkers, and like problems are being solved so fast. And then like there's a unity of two persons that kind of happens when you're like both in, let's use some like modern, like both in flow state, right? Like when you're both just firing all cylinders simultaneously, like
yeah.
Your cylinders start firing in rhythm and like you can just go. And that's kind of what I feel like in that is that getting into like for me the like the creative process, what that does is that and I put that in my thank you for each of my stories as it starts off with, you know, thank you to God the Father for letting me participate in your creative nature. Right? So mm-hmm. it's like I get to collaborate with God, and so in doing that kind of like I said, like all cylinders start firing and become like my nature starts to mirror or like become like I'm feeding off of him, like off what he's giving me. And so like I'm starting to align to that. And then, you know, instead of the two natures being in opposition, you know, like there's a single goal. And now the two natures, these two persons, me and God, are becoming more aligned, more closely together. And it's not necessarily spoken. It's just, it's like something that happens underneath the surface. Like I'm just like scribbling on my whiteboard, but like underneath the surface of it, I can just feel like it kind of coming together, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Your posture is different. Like your spiritual posture is different. You know, when I go into the chapel to spend some time in prayer with God, sometimes I go in there like with my boxing gloves on, like we're going to square up. Like I've brought that posture in. Something is not going right. I'm in a foul mood and God, you've got to answer for this. Other times I go in and like, it's not that I'm there for a fight. Instead, it's like, I'm there cause I'm there. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not there to like actually be open to him and have a conversation. I'm there because that's the spot where like I am required to be at that particular moment. And so I walk in and like I'm slouched. I don't have boxing gloves on. I'm not looking for a fight. But I have, you know, spiritually speaking, I got my headphones in. Mm-hmm. Like I'm here. Go ahead, God. You can speak if you want. But like I got something else going on in here at the moment. When you're in your creative process, though, and again, in part because you do intentionally take that point of saying, you know, thank you, God, for allowing me to participate in this, but also just because in our creative endeavors, we are acting in the image and likeness of God, as we've discussed before. Like there is something naturally happening. There is a natural internal shift where we are attempting to be godlike, mm-hmm. you know. Sometimes the risk is when we like adopt a mentality of taking God's place. Like I am going to challenge God for the throne. I am the one right. in control here. But what we have the potential to do instead is to, I don't know if this has been a thing that you've ever seen with like with your girls, but like I've seen it with like kids in general before. I've done it as a kid before where like you are pretending you're taking on the role of mom or dad and you're like playing that character. And it's not actually like an attempt to usurp their authority, but it is this idea of I want to be like them, so now I'm going to pretend I am them.
Mm-hmm.
And like, when they are, do they nail the role of mom and dad perfectly? No, of course not, because
they sure reveal see things differently stuff to me, though.
They don't understand things the same way. They're not like their goals aren't exactly the same, but at the same time, there is a internal disposition where I'm seeking to be like them, which means I'm going to, on some level, be seeking to understand them. And how close I get, that's going to vary. Your mileage will vary on this one.
Mm-hmm.
But when you seek that opportunity to be creative and when you do it with that right mindset of I am looking to participate in the creative powers of God, then I'm seeking to understand him. And there's a receptivity there's a receptivity in me that is, again, God won't have to shout to get it. Like you said, you've got both hands going on multiple whiteboards as you're just scribbling things down really quick. And it's not like you have intentionally asked God about each thing you're putting up there. But the posture that your soul has adopted in that moment is, I am seeking to understand and participate in God's creative power. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I'm going to be, it's not going to take as big of a tug. A subtle movement from God is more likely to catch me in that state.
Yeah. Yeah.
Than others.
Yeah, because the weird thing too, and this is where maybe I want to work through too, is, you know, we always talk about kind of, I feel like there's a big separation when we're talking about prayer, like I'm here and God is over there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I'm sending him words, and my words go from this place to that place where he is. And I feel like when I get into that creative space and I'm rocking and rolling, like the amount of conscious thought that I have is minimal. Like it's about enough to translate what's happening in the ether into words. Like it takes it like from something that is beyond me, and it just kind of funnels it into language enough to get it on a board. And and that's, you know, me just kind of trying to put my experience into words.
Yeah.
But it feels so much less separate. Right? Like, does that make sense? Like
it
I'm
does.
Not trying to get into any like Eastern stuff, like I've become one with anything, but like
no.
Like it's not like, hey God, what should I write? And he's like, Brandon, I think a good idea would be to maybe have this plot point be here. It's not like that. It's like this.
No.
It's just like swimming in it, and then it just kind of like formalizes and falls into words.
Sure, but that's a relationship. Like, and that's the thing too. And this is where I'm gonna like insist on going back to that both and, because of course I am. But like, this is where that both and comes in. The fact that you have enough consciousness to be able to take what's happening in the ether and put it into words. Part of why you're able to do that is because of all that time you've spent putting into words what you're wanting to say to God and trying to put into words what God is trying to respond to you with. You can't fake that closeness. You can't fake that ability to like have that close collaboration with God. Now, that doesn't mean that it's impossible to have that without having done the work, because God can do the heavy lifting mm-hmm. and make some things happen. But in order for it to be like a sustained relationship that we as humans can enter into, we're going to have to put in the work as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I get what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. So if I think to a certain extent, in my head at least, the difference that you're talking about when you were trying to like put words to it and also trying to clarify, you're not talking about sort of like the Eastern thought of becoming one with the universe and those kinds of things. One of the big differences that's there is that level of awareness that even though I am swimming in the midst of the other, it doesn't change the fact that it is other. Like God is imminent. He is right in it with us. But he is also like transcendent. He is also beyond. He is both of these seemingly like contradicting, paradoxical things. And that relationship requires an acknowledgement of both. Like I can get close to God because he's imminent, because he's in the mess with me. But I have to seek him and I have to be open to him because he is also like beyond me. Like he is not, something that I can simply tap into and be one with.
Yeah.
He is someone who I can be guided and led by. Sometimes very clearly and very strongly, other times very subtly and very minutely.
Right.
But that ultimately I am looking to be led.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, And that distinction, I think, is helping me formulate it a little bit, because I feel like during those times, it's kind of when I'm most aware of the Holy Spirit, in that because the Holy Spirit is the one that is both inside and outside, and so he's like the bridge of the physical me and the eternal God type of a thing. And so there are times in which, you know, like those clunky prayers feel like my words go from my brain and the Holy Spirit is like, all right, I'll take it for you, but like
don't worry, I'll translate this for you.
Some weak sauce, pal, you know, like but I got it. And then there's times to where like you almost like the joint is so smooth that you don't feel the transition between me to the Holy Spirit bridge to the Father, back from the Father, across the bridge, back into me. Like it's like greased up and smooth, you know, like, and it's just like it's just
yeah.
I wasn't meaning for that to be funny, but it was funny. But like, all I can think is like Christmas Vacation, where he's like, this thing's like 100 times more slippery, and he shoots down the mountain. And anyway, but yeah, like, I don't know. That's kind of how I've been putting it on there. But I also wanted, I had two other kind of thoughts on this. And one is, and I'm going to throw them back both out here really quick just to make sure they get hit. But the first one is there an issue or a problem with trying to manufacture it? Because you said it's a relationship, and then I was like, gosh dang it, well now I feel guilty because I'm like trying to manufacture this closeness to God. And yeah, let's just go with that.
Okay.
Thoughts on that? Because like I feel like it's okay.
And here's why. Like, so no, it's not a problem to try and manufacture it. It would be a problem to try and like control it. It would be a problem to lay out for God, these are the terms under which you and I are going to be close. That would be problematic. That would be manipulative. That would be like unfairly demanding. But like, no, intentionally seeking it out and like trying to manufacture it, that's kind of an essential part to relationships. You know, like, is there something wrong with you and your wife, like specifically setting up times where like, hey, this is when, you know, we're going to have the kids in bed or the kids with their grandparents or the kids somewhere else. And we are going to have time. We are setting this up to make sure that there is time for us to be in a relationship. No, right. Of course not.
Right.
That is, in fact, the requirement for the relationship to continue and to continue going deeper, is that there has to be some time set aside.
That's well said.
And so the idea of like it being a problem to like say, I desire closeness with God, and in the past he has spoken to me in these ways, so I am going to like seek that out here. I am going to set time aside. I am going to set effort aside and put it into this. No, no, that is not a problem.
Right.
That is building a relationship. Again, as long as it's not, yeah, God, I'm going to keep talking to you as long as you keep giving me these fire ideas for my book.
Right, as long as you don't start to treat it like magic.
Yes, and as long as it's not magic, or as long as it's not use. Like, what I desire is closeness with God. If that if like making this story results in closeness with God, awesome. However, I can't get that backwards. It can't be that I desire this story to be written and I need to be close to God in order for that to happen.
Mm.
Now you're in use. Now it's a problem.
That sucks. Yeah. Yeah, because it's the same trap. Like, and I'm instantly thinking of the trap of like social media, in which it's like I produced this thing and I got likes, and then all somewhere along the lines I got corrupted. And I stopped making things that I thought were good, true, beautiful, and started making things that got likes, and my order got perverted. I got distorted, and now I'm bass-ackwards and doing all the right things for the wrong reasons instead of, you know, like, oh, yeah.
And it's hollow, and it's empty, and it's exhausting.
Yeah.
Because even if you get what you were after, it turns out it wasn't what you wanted. And there's not actually a sense of fulfillment that comes from it because it's not what you actually at your core desire.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. We're running out of time here, but like the last one I was going to say was just like, and maybe I'll turn this last topic point into kind of my life lesson and maybe just encourage people to find that work that is worship. You know, it's still taking me a long time. Like there's a lot of things that I do because I have to or I want to, but there's very few things that actually get all my cylinders firing at the same time and I feel closeness to God and I all of these things happening simultaneously and they're amazing. And I think everybody's is probably different. Whereas mine is writing, like yours, like you said, was the prepping and working for your classes, like the problem solving in the theology. And mm-hmm. you know, there might be somebody who's like, hey, serving at the church does this for me. Like when I get to prep food or I get to set out tables or set up chairs, like there's all these different ways of doing it. And I don't think it has to look a certain way, which is a trap we all fall in. But I think it's worth finding what it is because the experience is friggin' cool, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like it feels so good. And that's where I like the fear of like wanting to manufacture it is like, is it false? Is it revealing something that is bad that I'm not sure? Because like, man, being in that spot is worth it. But it is hard because like your personal goals can get mingled in there with the relational goals and stuff like that too. But I think it's worth seeking that thing where your nature aligns with God's nature and you're working in tandem and cooperation in a super cool way.
Absolutely. And I would say like one of the keys with that as well is being open to the fact that sometimes it's going to change. You know, like what it is that does that at different seasons of our life, it might be different. It might not. It might be the same. But to me, that's where kind of like for my life lesson, the thing is for me, it comes back to one of those things that we talk about all the time in terms of, and one of the things we've been talking about for the last 4 weeks without like having things properly ordered. What is it I'm actually seeking? I need to make sure that I am actually seeking closeness with God. I don't want to chase the feeling. I don't want to chase the task. I want to chase the Lord. And I know that if I do that, that the things that I am doing to do that are going to bring me into those kind of flow state moments you were talking about. Mm-hmm. Not all the time.
Yeah.
Because it's a relationship, and sometimes relationships are really freaking hard.
Truth.
And sometimes being in a relationship with someone who loves you means they need to give you that swift kick in the backside.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's what it's going to feel like. There are going to be times of like dryness. There's going to be feast and famine in terms of how we feel in it. And so like what I need is I need that commitment that at all times I am seeking relationship with God. And if that's what I am seeking above all else, first and foremost, if that's what I'm seeking, then all these things shall be added unto it.
Mm-hmm.
Like C.S. Lewis had the line, it's important to remember that the person who has God has no less than the person who has God and the entire world. Like the person who has God alone has nothing less than God and the world. Yeah. And like, that's a really important thing for me to keep my focus on is that if I seek God, everything I need will be found there.
Mm-hmm.
If I seek everything I need except for God, then none of it will be found there. And so like just keeping that as my priority and that as my focus and keeping in mind what that means for us as leaders, you know, like, so after school today, I had a meeting about the men's retreat that we're putting on for the boys at our high school in a couple of weeks. And like, there is a reality that we are leaders, whether it's with your girls, whether it's with people at work, whether it's with the students who I teach, whether it's just friends and family who we connect with. Like, people are watching what we do, and I want to make sure that every time they look at me, they see someone chasing God. Mm-hmm. Because then if they're chasing me for now, if they've made that foolish mistake of looking at me and thinking I'm someone worth emulating, okay, cool, you'll get past that. But I want to make sure that when you realize that following me is not actually the move, that I've at least gotten you, like, you're on the right track,
right,
generally speaking,
yep,
to following God.
I like that. That was good. I needed that. That one was just for me, folks. Sorry. Not I sorry.
Mean, yeah, you picked it for you. But, like, no, that was... Again, these Brandon therapy sessions, they have a tendency to work out for me as well.
Yeah.
And I'm hopeful that they're working out for the people listening too. I'm sure some of them are for some of them. Yep. Not all of them for any of them, but, like, we'll get there.
Yep. Agreed. Right on, man. You got anything else on your brain?
Nah, man. I'm good.
Right on. With that, we will say
adieu.